Parshas Yitzroy. I know in England, but certainly I imagine in America, things aren't very different. The most expensive advertising slot on TV, the must take place any time during the entire year, must be immediately
Super Bowl.
After or before Super Bowl. Right? After, so probably it's after. Or halftime. Halftime. Halftime of Super Bowl is, I can't imagine anyone but Coca-Cola or Microsoft or somebody else can afford that kind of advertising. If you can get into advertising at halftime of Super Bowl, you've made it. Okay? La Havdol, Alfe Elef Havdolos, a million times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made the biggest Super Bowl in the world. He has created a system that has got the whole world's attention. He has actually spoken to Klal Yisrael. He's spoken to a nation and gave a whole nation prophecy. You know, there was a national prophecy that's never happened since, where the whole Klal Yisrael was spoken to by Rabbeinu Shlomo. And they knew it was Hashem. When Hashem speaks, you know it's Hashem. And Hashem's got the whole world's attention. And there's thundering, and there's lightning, there's a whole light show going on there. The whole world is crashing apart. It's unbelievable what's going on. Everyone's listening, everyone's got a mouth shaking, people are dying and resuscitation. It's unbelievable what's going on. Hashem's got our attention. Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what's going on there. He's got our attention. And then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using the perfect moment to teach us a message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I want to tell you something very, very important. Straight after Super Bowl, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, Lahavdol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a few mitzvahs. And therefore, if we realize a Kal V'Chomer a thousand billion times how important Matan Torah was compared to the Shtus of games, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has used that moment to draw attention to a few mitzvahs, we can see just how important these mitzvahs are, and the question is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to give us those particular mitzvahs then. It's fascinating. The Mishnah, the Pasuk says at this, V'chol Ha'om Ro'im Es HaKodesh Perek Chof Pasuk Tesvov. The whole nation heard the kodos as a lapidim, as kol ha-shofar, as a ha-oshim, the light and sound show. Vayah ha-om, vayanu, vayandu merochot, they stood from a distance, they died, they came back again, a whole bunch of stuff, right? And then it says, in Pasuk Yutev, Yem Hashem HaMoshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Koy seima b'nei Yisrael, so you say to Klal Yisrael, Atem re'isem, you saw k'min ha-shamayim, dibarti mochem. I spoke to you from Shemayim. I spoke to you from Shemayim. Unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to a human being. Therefore, Lo Yisavshun Iti Elehei Chesed Velehei Zov Lo Yisavshun Lachem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do not make yourself any graven images of a god, whether it's silver or whether it's gold. Number one. Don't make a graven image. Number two. Mizbach Adomo Ta'asili. When you make a Mizbeach, make it out of Adomo. And the next pasuk, if you're making it out of stones, Leisivne eshen gozis. Do not make them out of hewn stones. Do not take a stone and hew it. Take it and chisel it out. Ki chal b'cho hinafto levet chaler. Because a sword has been waved over it and it has disgraced it. The chalero. It has, what's the great word? Chalero. Defiled it. Thank you. Leisalev malos on mizbechin ala mitzvah. Do not make any steps in my mizbeach. Asher leisigole revoscho olov. That your erva should not be revealed on it. Asks Rev Isaac Shaw, Art of Isaac Shaw, from all these mitzvahs, because Baruch decided to give us these mitzvahs, a mizbeach. We never have to mizbeach yet. We're not even building a mishkan yet. Here it talks all about mizbeach this, mizbeach that, and certainly the mizbeach we're going to build is not going to be one made out of stone in the middle of the mizbor. Okay, it's a special mizbeach. So what we're talking about is how to build a mizbeach. You know, Klal Yisrael, here we have Matan Torah. Got your attention? Okay, how do you build a mizbeach? What kesha does it have? What connection does it have? Got our attention. Teach us. V'hafter reichu k'meichu. Teach us the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Teach us the mitzvah of even Shabbos. I don't know. You know, details of Shabbos. Tell us the details about Mizbeach and about making graven images. What shaychus does it have? Answers Rebbe Gedalia Shor beautifully. He says like this. He says, imagine you have a Talmud Chochem coming to town. And he's making a shiur for all the Talmud Chochemim. Yeah, a Rosh Shiva is coming to town, and he comes in and he says, Rabbi Yisai, I want to tell you something. Don't murder! What a chutzpah. What a chutzpah you expect you're going to murder? He can't tell us not to murder. You know, that way he suspects us of doing. Don't steal! Of course we don't steal. What do you think we are? No incest! Of course no incest. We're Tamei Chachamim. Well, what kind of thing is this? What kind of thing is this? How can you speak to us like that? It says in Gedalia Shor, that's not pshat. I want to tell you something very, very, very fine, Klal Yisrael. There's a gewaltige Torah. There's an unbelievable Torah. But in order to become a true Eved Hashem, when I talk about the big things, you've got to understand that I'm talking about the little things too. Don't miss the details. When I talk about Avodah Zarah, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, when I talk about making a God, Kodesh Baruch Hu, your only God, I don't mean don't make yourself a little Buddha. I don't mean go chanting up and down Oxford Street singing Hare Krishna. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. That's not Avodah Zarah I'm talking about. When I talk about Avodah Zarah, I'm talking about the very fine details. I'm talking about making a graven image, taking a lump of gold and making a picture of a sun, making a form of a sun. Sun in this context, not S-O-N. Yeah? The S-U-N, a form of the sun. Yeah? That's what I'm talking about. Don't make that because ultimately you can compare it to Avodah Zarah. There's what Avodah Zarah I'm talking about. I'm not talking about burning incense and living in, you know, in the Himalayas with an orange tunic and a shaven head and a begging bowl. Of course not. I'm talking about making the Lesas and Iti. Don't make those graven images and sell them in the market. That's what I'm talking about. You know, go to the Arab market. You know, they have Mamish smorgasbord. They have menorahs, and they have, you know, little Buddhas, and they have a little Yoshki crosses there, and they have Mamish, all, anything you want. You know, they're completely united religion. You know, how's business doing? Thank God. You know, it's unbelievable. But, anyway, it's unbelievable. But they have, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Don't buy a graven image. I'm not talking about the big deal. I'm talking about the fine details. Avodah Zarah. Do you know the three Averis called three Averis Chamorim? Three cardinal sins. That's a good name for a galach, for a priest. Cardinal sin. But the three cardinal sins. We're talking about the three big ones. Yehorig v'aliyavo. You must give up your life rather than go in and chas v'sholem be transgressed in these averus. One's Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah doesn't mean the big ones. It means even Abdezrayhu, even the offshoots of making a graven image is Avodah Zarah and it's offer. The details are very, very important. The next one. The next one is referring to murder. Murder. What is murder? Says a pasuk. Imizbeach avonim tasali. If you make me a mizbeach, do not put any stones that have been hewn out with a piece of metal. Why? Because metal, iron, iron, ultimately represents murder. It represents a sword. And a sword cannot have any shaykhus, cannot have any connection at all with my mizbeach. Rashi says already. Rashi says because mizbeach matul sholem ben yisrael avim shvashamayim, and he says a whole idea that mizbeach is never laharech yom shel adam. Mizbeach is there to increase the life of a person, and bavel is made to decrease the life of a person, that he can't put them both together. In other words, I'm not talking about taking something and stabbing him in the back. Of course not. I don't expect it from Klal Yisrael, but I'm talking about the fine detail. Understand that what I mean by murder is have not the smallest inkling of any connection with the chas v'sholem, the smell of murder. And therefore you're not even allowed to use stones that have been hewn. The Rambam brings down that if you look in the Mishkan, there's never, ever, iron was never used in the Mishkan. Although iron is a fantastic source of strength to build, they used copper instead. Why not? Because they want nothing to do with iron. Even a base of Midrash was built. The stones were hewed outside. You never had chiseling stones in a base of Midrash. Because iron, you have to be so distant from the idea of concept of murder, so distant from the idea of Avodah Zarah, that even the smell of them, even just a graven image, or even having stones hewn is offer. Remember the once famous Shiloh, the Lord Jacobowitz, Chron of Racha. He became a lord. The custom is, to go to the queen gives the lordship, and he got a bow. Got a bow to the queen. The problem is, the queen has in her hand a ball, I'm not sure exactly what it's called, that has a little cross on it, and also she wears on her crown, there's a cross. So ultimately, there's a shiloh of Avodah Zarah over there. So Lord Jacobus had a big shiloh whether he's allowed to in any way go and receive the lordship and bow down, because it looks as if he's bowing down to the cross. Or is it better just to leave it? Don't become a lord. Finished. So the Shiloh went all the way to the Paschim here in Eretz Yisrael, and they paschimed that he should bow down, but only with one leg. And that should be mutter. And exactly how it sounds, I don't know exactly. But the Avizrai Vodazari, now these are Shiloh Vodazari, nobody's expecting them to make a Getshka Chasashol and become a Christian. But even the smell of Vodazari is also. That you had to do a shinui, you had to make a change. Murder doesn't mean murder. Murder means any idea that comes into contact with something that represents murder is completely anti-Jewish. Thirdly, the idea is sneers. Sneers. Avod Gilarois. Gilarois is not Chas V'Sholem, a person mustn't marry his mother or his daughter. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a Mizbeach that's supposed to have a slope rather than having steps. Why? Because, says Rashi, because if you have steps, you've got to lift your feet up. Says Rashi, big deal, you're wearing trousers. And therefore, so what, you separate your feet? Says Rashi, no, but there's a small element of sneers. You can have more by putting foot next to one foot next to the other, heel toe, all the way up the Mizbeach, and not have the element of a lack of sneers. Says the Torah, Gila Reis does not mean Chas V'Sholem, the horrendous immorality. What it does mean is any smallest concept of where one can add kedusha in a home, one can add sneers. That is what Torah expects when he talks about Gila Reis. When it talks about Gila Reis, you have to give up your life for, it means any smallest idea of Gila Reis has to be respected and has got to be protected by Klal Yisrael. That's what the Torah is telling us. In other words, we have the Torah, and the Torah is given in great pomp and splendor with a sound and light show. But straight afterwards we are told, don't forget the details. Don't forget that when I talk about Gila Reis, Shfichas Dam and Avodah Zarah, I mean the small details. I mean, Lesaf Intilake Kesef. I mean, Mizbeach Avon Tashli Leshiv Esan Gozif. I mean, don't make a Mizbeach with steps. That is what I mean by the small details. In other words, the Torah is telling us the most important message is details are very important in the Torah. It's not the big deal, and I keep the big mitzvahs and the little mitzvahs fall apart. There's no such thing. The details are important. You get people who are saying, Shabbat, Ani Yehudi Balev. You know, I've got a Jewish heart. In other words, what he's saying over here is, you know, God, Chas V'Sholem, you know, it doesn't matter about the details very much, whether keep it until it's a dime or not, whether eat kosher or not. The main thing is, you know, I keep the big thing. I buy my Israel bonds, I have my my bagels and lox on Sunday morning, and my Israeli flag and Yom HaTzmaut. That is not, and everything else, the details are not important. On the contrary, it's the details that are that important. And therefore, I'd like to talk about a little bit about details brought down in this week's parasha, to show exactly how the details, how important they actually are. Beginning of the parasha, Yisroi, the famous Yisroi, an incredible, incredible man. Yisroi, Kohen Midyon. Kohen Midyon means, Midyon was steeped in Avodah Zarah. Kohen Midyon means, it's like the Vatican of today. He was the Archbishop of the Vatican. He was the Pope of the Vatican. He was the biggest Avodah Zarah man there was in the world. He knew everything. He was a walking encyclopedia of Avodah Zarah. He knew everything. He'd been through everything. He'd done anything. He's wearing a bunch of t-shirts. Yeah? Seen it, done it, and I've moved on. Unbelievable what that man had done. Yeah? Priest Jethro. Unbelievable. Kohen Midyon. Chosem Moshe. He's a father-in-law of Moshe. Okay? Now, Moshe did not encourage him to become Jewish at all. Didn't help him, the Chosem Moshe. We'll see how he became from later. How he became Jewish later. But anyway, he comes along and he says, Vayikach Yisrael Chosem Moshe to Poyah Eshes Moshe, and he takes with him Eshem Benehot, he takes with him the two sons, Asher Eshem Ho Echad Gershoim, one of the sons is called Gershoim, Ki Omav, because he said, Ger Ho Yisi Beretz Nachuya, because I was a Ger in a strange land when I lived in Midian. Vayishem Ho Echad Eliezer, and the second son is called Eliezer, Ki Lekei Ovi Be'ezri, Kodesh Baruch Hu was, helped me, Vayatzileni Mecherev Paroi, and he saved me from the sword of Paroi. Asks the Beis Av, what on earth are we doing here? What on earth are we talking about? Yisroi took two sons of Moshe. We know this, one names of the sons beforehand. Yeah? What are you repeating? Two sons, and why he called them those names? Who cares? What is so important? Yisroi is coming with the two sons. Lovely. But the two sons whose names were this, and because of that, why is it so important? What's the big deal? It's years and years after they were born. What's it so important to find the names and why they were named that way? Who cares? Says the base of Schlesinger, Joachim Schlesinger, fantastic vort. Yisroi came with a message. Yisroi came with an idea. Yisroi came with a very, very pointed criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to tell you something. You're a big man. You're a very big man. There's never been a man as great as Moshe Rabbeinu ever, and there never will be. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest man ever. But you've got to remember something. You must never ever forget the individual. You left your wife behind, left your children behind. Maybe that's the correct thing to do. But I'm just telling you now, there are two people who are named after an event that saved your life. You weren't always Moshe Rabbeinu, you weren't always that great. Now you're great. But when the times when you're left behind by yourself in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved your life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked on the individual and saved him. The great HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved you from a misery when you were in Midian, left alone as a stranger there. Those two events remind you that you must never forget the individual, just like Hashem never forgets the individual. However busy you're going to get, whatever you're going to do in your life, never forget the little ones. Never forget the smaller people. That is a message. I'm coming to you with this message. I'm coming to you with these two sons, both named after an event that changed your life as an individual before you were great. Because every individual is special. However great you are, don't leave them behind. That is the message Israel is coming for. And that's why these two names are mentioned over here. And even more than that, the Pasuk says later on, Vayetze Moshe, in Perik Yudches Pasuk Zayin, this is an unbelievable vort, Vayetze Moshe Kras Chosnoi, Moshe went out towards his father-in-law, Vayishtachlu, he bowed down, Vayishakloi, and he kissed him, Vayisholu Ish L'Re'ehu L'Sholim, and Vayisholu, and they asked, Ish L'Re'ehu, a man to his friend L'Sholim, Vayavoyu Ohelo, and he came into the tent. Now what's Ish L'Re'ehu? Who is this Ish L'Re'ehu? Who is this man to his friend? Says Rashi, we don't know who this Ishra'eu is, only because we have a prophet somewhere else who says that Ish Moshe Onav Moed. And therefore, Pasuk Zayin, Ein Yedea Mi Yishtach V'Lemi, I don't know who bowed down to who. Shuhu Oime Ish L'Re'eu, when it says a man to his friend, Mi HaKori Ish, who was this Ish? Says the Pasuk, Zeh Moshe, that's Moshe, Shnema V'ho Ish Moshe, and the man Moshe. In other words, we don't know who this Ish is, only because we know a different part that says Ish Moshe, we know who this Ish is over here. Let me ask you something, Rabbi Yisai. Why do we need this puzzle over here? Who is this Ish? If you can write somewhere else, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. Just say, Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down. What's this Ish? Why bring this Ish? What's the point? Answers Michael Kamenetsky, something very nice, not sure where he got it from, but it's a very, very MS thought. Moshe Rabbeinu was a God Lador. Moshe Rabbeinu is the biggest Navi. But you know the main part of Moshe Rabbeinu was? He was a mensch. He was an Ish. He was an Ish. He didn't lose who he was just because he became great. Rachman al-Itzlan, you know, you get a kid who's brought up in the ghettos, in the Bronx, and he can hit the ball a lot faster than his friends can, and he makes it into the big league. And he buys himself his big house in Hollywood, and he drives around with his protected cars, with all the hammers, yeah, and does he care about anyone else? Can he come anywhere close to him? Moshe Rabbeinu, however great he was a fantastically great man, but the Pasuk says, I just want to quote, he was an Ish, he was a mensch, he was a normal person. Ramotcha Gifter says, V'noyach Ish Tzadik Tomim Hoye B'Dereisov. He's an Ish Tzadik Tomim. Ask Ramotcha Gifter, why say Ish? Just say Noach was a Tzadik Tomim. If he was a great man, and he was totally perfect, why say Ish? The answer is, because that is the most important thing. It's just to be a mensch. Not to lose yourself by being a big tzaddik. Not to lose yourself being a tomim. Be the Ish. Be the man that you can speak to face to face, who has a common touch with everyone else, who doesn't lose himself in his greatness. Who is this Ish over here? The answer is Moshe Rabbeinu. He can bow down to Yisroi. He's a God like God. They ain't bow down to me. No. No, of course I'm great, but that requires even more work on my midas, even more work on my humility. I've got to remain forever and ever the title of Ish. The God Lador of the last generation, one of the biggest Roshivas, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's a famous story. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I wrote this in Tips on the World a few years ago, He hasn't come in yet because he had a wedding. Had a wedding. And he lived in Bonsi at the time. And he needed a lift to get back from New York back to Bonsi. So, Juna Chasna, a Talmud said, you know, Rosh Shiva, I've got a lift for you. I've got a ride for you. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, fantastic, but what car is it? He said, oh, no, it's an Oldsmobile, whatever it is. He says, I don't know that car. Do you mind showing it to me? Okay, fine. So Yaakov Kamenetsky walks out. Obviously, Yaakov Kamenetsky walks out. All the Bochum walk out with him. You know, so the whole entourage is going to the parking lot. You know, Yaakov Kamenetsky walks all the way to the car. Looks at the car. Says, this is a car yet? Yeah. Okay, open it, please. Yes, it's a Yeshivisha car, you know. You know, 1987 Subaru, whichever. He opens the car, he sits down inside the car, back seat. Yeah, fine, thank you very much. I'll take the ride. I said, what's Yeshiva doing? You know, become a car enthusiast. What's the idea? He said, listen, it means nothing to me how I get back. But my wife is coming with me, and she's going in the back seat. I can't be moichel. I can't just say take any ride unless I know that she's going to be comfortable. Unless I have to go and check the car to find how comfortable she's going to be. And if he's been multimillionaire giving me a ride, I know he's got a decent car. But he didn't look like a guy with too much money. You know, if she's got springs sticking into her, it's my responsibility. And therefore I've got to make sure the car's comfortable. That's an ish. He didn't lose a common touch. Ryakov Kamenetsky. There's another story with him. That Ramotko Kamenetsky phoned up. There's a hotel called the Caribbean Hotel in Miami Beach. The Schechters had a hotel there. And one time he phones up and he wants to leave a message for somebody there. Motor Kamenetsky wants to leave a message. So there's this old, sound like this old American sort of from little villages, a black matron. And he said, hello, you know. So who am I speaking to? You know. So he said, can I leave a message, please? So he said, okay, who's speaking? You know, who's speaking? He said, my name is Kamenetsky. Yo! Are you any relation to the rabbi, the big rabbi Kamenetsky? He said, sure, it's my grandfather. Your grandfather? Hey, your grandfather and me? Good friends! You're good pals, your grandfather and me! He said, thinking to himself, you know, how on earth is Rosh Shiva Torah Das a good friend with this, you know, black older matron from this hotel in Miami Beach? I mean, what's to hit a punchline? So what do you mean? He said, well, your grandfather used to come down to this here hotel, and he used to give a Bible class. And every morning before he went to the Bible class, he'd come to morning, he'd say, good morning, and how are you? You know, so nice to see you. And then he'd go to the Bible class. When he'd finished, he'd come to me and say, thank you so much for allowing me to give this class. It's so lovely in this hotel. And me and him, we're good friends. He's an ish. The God of Ador, the big Rosh Hashiva. He's an ish. He's a mensch. There's somebody who came to the shiva of Yaakov Kamenetsky, a nun. There's a nun who lived in Monsey. The only person who said good morning to her, you know, some people threw stones at her, whatever, but the only person who said good morning to her was Yaakov Kamenetsky. She's a Tzelem Elokim. He's an ish. That's a menschlichkeit. And that is what you have to know, the details. Just because a person's had a big schwitzer, and a person's not high up there in a high society, and you have a person, not even your religion, a person's got to be a mensch. You've got to have the ish. You've got to treat a person with respect. That is the idea over here. You've got to treat a person with respect. How many times does a person become great and you posh it, leave your family behind? You know, I'm leading Klal Yisrael over here. Big deal, a little Moshele has a Mishnayos test on Monday. That's not the idea. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein brings down in the Sefer that there was a Talmud Chochem in Bnei Brak who went for a walk with his son. And whenever he had a little issue and needed to speak over to his son, he'd take his son out individually, he'd walk with him, put his arm around him, sit down on the bench, and they'd speak. And they were speaking one day, his arm around his son. There was a boy across from them who was the biggest mischief maker in town. This boy had serious, serious issues. Came from a frum family. He unfortunately went off the derech in a terrible, terrible way. He was a criminal, and he was very, very difficult to deal with. And this boy was eyeing them. You know, sitting there with his nose ring and his earring and his little hood on his head. And he was eyeing his father and son. And he burst into tears. He burst into tears. And he was sobbing uncontrollably. So Talmud Chochem went to him and said to him, well, what's the matter? Why are you so upset? And he couldn't stop sobbing. He couldn't stop. Eventually, he pulled himself together and he said, you should just know that if my father would have once taken me for a walk, sat me down on a bench and put his arms around me, I would never be where I am today. My father was much too busy for me. He never had that time to do it for me. Rabbi Isai, we've got to be an ish. We've got to be immense, and certainly to our own family. We can't lose the details just because we, Baruch Hashem, got a lot going on in our lives. Ovi Sabonim, a wonderful organization, has a clip on a video they brought out. There's a high-flying lawyer. Who's earning a huge amount of money. And his son comes to him one day and he says, Daddy, how much are you earning? 11-year-old son, however old he is. How much are you earning? He said, what a cheek. Mind your own business. You know, I'll buy you your Nikes. You know, and I got your skateboard. So what else do you want? Mind your own business. He said, no, how much do you earn? So I'm not telling you. Eventually he pesters him. Okay, listen, I earn $100 an hour. After 20 minutes, the boy comes down with his piggy bank and he puts all the coins on the table and said, Daddy, I have here $50. Can I buy half an hour of your time? He wasn't being facetious. He needed to buy his father's time. His father was just too busy for him. The father got the message. This is Ish. This is what Yisrael is saying. Moshe Rabbeinu keep very busy, but remember where you came from. Look at your children. You named your children after HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked after you, you've got to look after everyone else. Never lose a message of Ish. That's a very, very important message. Gedolim never lost that. Not only that. If you look at the Nepsukim themselves, there are two sons. One is called Gershoy, one is called Eliezer. One is called Gershoim, ki oma ger ha yisi beretz nochri, as a ger in a strange land. Veshema echad Eliezer, ki lekei ovi be'ezri, via tzileini mecherev pari. Two questions. Number one, what happened first? Was Moshe Rabbeinu first saved from pari, and then he became a stranger in Midian? Or the other way around? First saved from pari. His head was literally on the chopping block, yeah? And a nest happened, and Kosh Baruch saved him, and he ran away to Midian. So what first happened? He was saved from Pari. Only then he became a Ger. So why the apostles first talk about Ger HaYisi, and then talk about, he saved me from Pari, number one. Number two, what's Moshe doing? Giving a good old krecht? Oh, Ger HaYisi, there's Nachriah, there's a stranger here, nobody says Shalom Aleichem to me. There's somebody who said to, he came into a shul, he said, the only time I ever got Shalom Aleichem was by Kiddush Levana. He says, you know, Eretz Nachriah came as a guy, a famous guy, he did very well with the place he came from. Oh, you know, a few guys said Shalom Aleichem, he goes, Kiddush Levana. He said, Baruch Hashem, the guy said Shalom Aleichem to me. So Moshe Rabbeinu got no Shalom Aleichem. He's lonely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ger HaYisi, Eretz Nachriah, hey, vey, you know. And you know what, I'll call my son after that. Just for the sake of it. I'll call my son, I suffered so much, and call my son a stranger because I suffered as a stranger. Moshe Rabbeinu, put yourself together. I mean, what's going on here? Answer the Bani Musa, I understand it, I think Ramesha and Meshach Chochem both say this. The idea is that Moshe Rabbeinu was grateful that he understood a very important message of what it takes to be an Elech Yid. The idea is, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for not allowing me to escape and not worry about those people are left behind. People make it big. They leave the ghetto and they live in a beautiful house other side of America. Do they ever come back to see how their friends are? Do they ever come back to see how the poor mama is? Nothing! No connection! People make it big, they go to Chutzaritz. They leave their soul, they go to Chutzaritz, some of them come very, very wealthy. They come back to the place where they were brought up and help with people they had any connection with. Nothing! Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rabbi Isai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me. Please help me that I should not forget where I came from. That I should not forget my tachlis in life is to look out for Yidden. My mission is Sihu. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for reminding me that my whole purpose of life is to be with my brothers, to be with them and to help them. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to call my son, I am a stranger in my land. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for reminding me that I'm a stranger here. However comfortable, however wonderful it is here, thank you for reminding that I'm a stranger here. That I have to go back and I've got to help my brothers, number one. And you know what? It's even more important, me helping my brothers than my very own neck being saved. You know, the fact that I got saved by Pari, big deal. That's secondary. Thank you, Hashem, for saving my life. But that's not what I'm so excited about. The fact is that I remember that I've got to go back and help my brothers, that's more important than my own life being saved. That is a leader. caring more about the fact that other people are in discomfort than himself and his own life being saved. Reb Chaim Brisk, Zeichet Sadeh V'Kodesh Evrocha, a goy in Adir, a genius who wrote Sforim, She'en Kamoyu, unbelievable. In Brisk there was a fire that ravaged the city, and Nebuch, the poor people, their homes were destroyed. Reb Chaim's home was not destroyed, wasn't touched. He went and he moved his bed to the Ezras Noshim of the shul. And he said, I am not moving from this Ezras Noshim. I'm not moving from this women's gallery in the shul where all these people have camped because their homes have been destroyed until every single last person over here has his house rebuilt by tzedakah. Only then I'll move back to my own home. I'm staying here with them. That is where my place is. My place is not a home writing my svarim. You know, an extra chiddush, an extra understanding in the Rambam. No, my place with my brothers. The fact that I got saved by Pari, fantastic, Baruch Hashem, lovely. But that's not the Ikka. The Ikka is, my place is with my brothers. The details, looking after who they are, taking their interests to my heart and making sure that I actually process their needs as much as possible, that is Moshe Rabbeinu. There's so much more to say. I want to talk a little bit about Yisroi. Unfortunately, I don't have enough time. But there's just one particular vort that Reb Chaim Berlin says. Yisroi came along. Yisroi was the world's best critic. Okay? All parents in law have a difficulty in criticism. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yisroi was the best critic. He knew every single Avodah Zarah, knew exactly what's wrong with every single Avodah Zarah. When his daughters didn't bring Moshe Rabbeinu home originally, he yelled at them. He came to Moshe Rabbeinu in a midbar as a stranger. He's there next day, he criticizes. He had what they call the koyach of Bikoret. Yerucham speaks about the koyach of Bikoret. He managed to identify problems. And he identified one problem. But there's a difference in language between how he described the problem and Moshe Rabbeinu described it. The Pasuk says, V'shoftu esa'on b'chol eis, perik yudches pasuk chof beis. V'shoftu esa'on b'chol eis, and you shall judge the nation at all times. V'hoyo kol adova ha'godo yavir elecho, all the big things shall come to you. V'chol ha'dova ha'kotun yishpatu heim, and all the smaller things, the smaller rabbi should deal with. Okay? Later on the pasuk says, in pasuk chofov, V'shoftu esa'on b'chol eis, and you shall judge the nation at all times. Es hadavo ha'koshe yavina Moshe, the difficult things are brought to Moshe. V'chadavo ha'koton yishputahim, they judge. In other words, Yisrael said chadavo ha'godol and cotton, the big things and the small things. Moshe Rabbeinu said the difficult things and the small things. What's the difference? In a world, if there's a very, very big court case involving millions and millions of dollars, it goes to the high court. The smaller things, you have a small claims court. Yeah, get some shmoiger who's been here for a couple of years, you put them together, everything's fine, yeah, go together, kiss and make up, and that's it, out you go. Yeah? In Yiddishkeit, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a small matter. We're talking about details. We're talking about details. There's no such thing as a small matter. It's a halacha of din pruta ka din mea. A din of a pruta, a judgment of a pruta, which is a very, very small coin, is like a din of a mea, of a huge amount of money. It makes no difference. Yisrael said, Godol and cotton. There's big things and there's small things. Big things, there's Kriyas Yom Suf, there's Mechanes Amalek, there's big things. I'm impressed by big things, says Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu said, there's no big things and small things. There's difficult things and simpler things. No item, no element, no person, no matter, no situation is small. Every single thing is important. Every detail is important. Everything a person goes through is an assayin. To either grow, or chas v'shalom the other way. Every human being a person comes across is a tzelem elokim. You can either treat him like inferior, or you can treat him like an ish, like an individual, like a human being. You can treat him like he should be treated. There's no such thing as a small or big matter. There's a difficult and an easier matter. That is a pasuk that is describing Moshe Rabbeinu's world view of how matters should be viewed. It's not big and small. difficult and is easy. That is the idea of Matan Torah. Matan Torah are the big details. Afterwards come what you call the small details. It's not small. These smaller details are as important as the big details. Gilaro is shvich, some of those are you got to die for. But even the smaller items, the person got to give up their life for. If a person does that, if a person does that, then the Pasuk says, a beautiful Pasuk, we'll finish off with this. The Pasuk says, in Perek Yutef, Pasuk Hey, Va'atom shmaya tishmu v'koili, Hashem says, if you listen to my voice, Ushmatim es brisi, and you guard my bris, V'yisem li segula mikol amim, and you shall be to me as a segula, as a treasure from all the nations, Kili kol ha'aretz, because the whole land belongs to me. Ask Ramotel Kamenetsky, again, quite a few this week, he tells beautiful pieces. What's that Kili kol ha'aretz, the whole world belongs to me? What is it needed, Kili kol ha'aretz, the whole world belongs to me? What's the idea here? So he says a very sweet story. You know, got an old lady living in Lower East Side, who lives in a little flat there, a little apartment. Whatever her name is, Sadie Finkelstein, right? Sadie Finkelstein in a little apartment. And she has worked day and night to put her son through college. And this son, he goes through university, and he gets a degree, and he becomes a doctor. And not only a small doctor, he becomes a world doctor. And he's traveling the world, making operations, lecturing. He's really living up the lifestyle. Really becoming very, very wealthy, doing fantastically well. Flying here, this hotel, that limousine. Anyway, he ends up one day in a beautiful, beautiful presidential suite in the middle of Paris over Liberty Square there. And there he is in a city, looking out his window in overlooking Champs-Élysées. And there he remembers, oy vey, it's his mother's birthday. 75th birthday, what a cherpa, what a bush, I forgot to buy her something. No problem, he picks up the telephone and he orders a kilo of the best caviar from the best shop in Paris. Caviar, okay, we'll just tell you what caviar is later. Okay, it's fish eggs, very, very expensive. Each gram cost $100. Yeah, best caviar. Not only that, you bought as well, to finish off, you bought the world's best champagne, most beautiful, perfect champagne, a bottle, good, you know, $600-$700 bottle, and sent it FedEx to his mother in a little apartment in the Lower East Side. 2 days later, he phones her up. Ma, happy birthday! I'm so sorry I forgot your birthday, but you got my present, of course. Yeah, I got your present. Ma, did you like my present? Yeah, it's okay. So, you know, I tell you the honest truth. The jam was a little bit salty. And the ginger ale, is a little bit sour. So that's somebody who's been living on schnapps herring and crackers. A person, that's what they've been living on. They haven't seen the world from the outside. They're not a connoisseur of the finer details in life. Yeah? The most expensive caviar is a bit salty jam. That's the idea. Nebuch. They don't know what's going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want to tell you something, Klal Yisrael. You care about the details. You keep the mitzvah. Tishvo v'koili, shmatim es brisi, yismi segula. You keep the details perfectly. I'm telling you, I will keep your details too. I appreciate details. I appreciate what you do. You look out for somebody else. You take every situation seriously. And you do the very best you can. I will love you, and I will appreciate you. And I can tell you that I know what good caviar is. I know what good champagne is. I know what a good Jew is. I know what a good action is. I appreciate the bigger things. But you know why? Kili kol ha'aretz, because the whole world belongs to me. You know why? I've got billions of malachim. I know exactly what a good chesed is. I know exactly how I created the world. I know exactly how the world runs, what chesed is running the world. I know what details go into making the world. And I appreciate every single detail you take seriously and you concentrate on and perfect. That is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We can concentrate on details. Nothing is missed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Likol Aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the connoisseur of details, who created the whole world, appreciates every smallest detail we do. And therefore, give us the schar, and as Hashem, we should be Segula Kol HaAmim, we should be His treasure forever and ever.